Our MSO News Sports Red Sox insider Andy Carbone joins us and our first installment of the offseason. And Andy, a lot of Red Sox question marks. I know in today's Herald they had a article with a number of different questions and that need to be answered for the Red Sox for 2015 if they're going to be successful. And I thought I'd just throw some of them at you. But before I get into that, I got to ask you about Don Orsillo. You're a huge Red Sox fan and follow the team and so on, as all of us are. But what's your take on the Orsillo situation?
It's very bizarre to me, Bill, and I want to thank you for having me back. It's been a while since we had a chance to chat. The Don Orsillo thing, there's a lot of questions to be raised there as well, never mind what Dave Dombrowski has to do with the team going forward into 2016. You know, from what I've read and, you know, and heard some people talking in the industry, this came to Don Orsillo totally out of left field. He did not see this coming. I guess Dave O'Brien's contract with WEEI was coming to an end at the end of this year. And he's a TV guy. He's done a lot of games on ESPN. And, you know, obviously TV is his bread and butter. He does a Monday night game of the week on ESPN. And, you know, I think TV is where he wants to be. And I have a funny feeling when they first signed O'Brien to his first contract, they may have said to him down the road when this contract expires, we're going to slide you right over to the TV booth on NESN. It's the only thing I can think of because, obviously, Orsillo and Remy are extremely entertaining. And, you know, obviously, three of the last 4 years finishing in last place, there's been some rough games to sit through and watch, and those guys made it fun. They got you through the game. He's a great broadcaster. He does a nice job with everything, and he and Remy seem to get along fantastically. I just don't know what the overall... And the Red Sox obviously haven't given a reason as to why this happened. They didn't come out and say, well, we want to put Dave O'Brien in, his contract was up, and it was very strange. And then I did see, I read a few articles that they did offer Orsillo the radio job after the fact at a 30% pay cut. Yeah. He'd have to go out and sell advertising and MC 40-some-odd events in the offseason. I mean, that's like a slap in the face. So I just, hopefully someday Don Orsillo will talk about it, because I think it's a fascinating story to find out just what has gone on there.
Yeah, I think what happens in these situations is that comes a time and that there's the time is up, so to speak, with for whatever reason. And I think that it is more of the fact, and I thought the Red Sox kind of alluded to this, that they really wanted Dave O'Brien. They have a higher regard for Dave O'Brien, I guess, as a major league voice and a contributor on the TV side than Orsillo. You got to remember, you go back and Orsillo got the job under, again, not similar situations, but with Sean McDonough when he left, I guess, with the contract issues and so on. But he kind of slid in there. So it took years, you know, but that's what happens in this business, I think. And I'm glad he quickly landed on his feet and that, you know, it may be a good situation for him out there, too, in San Diego.
And I think he's going to get some opportunity to maybe do some national work as well. But obviously, yeah, he'll be the lead broadcaster after next season, after Dick Enberg retires. But, I mean, you talk about the Red Sox saying high regard for Dave O'Brien. Then if that was the case, why wasn't he their number one radio voice? He was kind of like the second fiddle to Castiglione.
But I think, but they swapped his role a couple of years ago, where he became the lead radio voice to Castiglione. He got the early innings. He got the middle innings. He got the eighth and ninth innings. You know.
Yeah, it's true they didn't mix it up, but there's still some underlying. I mean, they were talking about the ratings being down and this and that. I mean, it's the product on the field that's the reason why the ratings have been down on NESN. It's not what Don Orsillo does or doesn't bring to the table.
No.
That was the issue there.
It'll be
interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, if it's on ratings, it had nothing to do with Orsillo, that's for sure. Yeah. And I don't think most of the cases announcers don't make or break it, but I do think I'll be honest with you, I think Remy is not going to be back next year. I mean, I think that's even the bigger thing
I wouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, why not make a wholesale change?
I just think there's something happening there. And I love Remy. I love what he does. You know, I feel for him and his personal situations. I'm glad he's still doing the games and so on. It was a difficult situation that he's gone through. He's gone through health issues. He's gone through the issues with his son. And again, you know, maybe he made mistakes here and there. But on the other hand, is he a good broadcaster? Absolutely. He's entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. And you know, they're going to make a question: who's going to be Castiglione's sidekick now on the radio? I mean, there's an opening there. what happens, who would fill potentially Remy's spot if they make a change. There's those, between what's going on the field, there's a lot of stuff on the Red Sox off the field, too, that they could be switching up before the next season starts.
I am pushing hard for Andy Carboni. It'll be Castiglione and Carboni. What do you think?
Well, maybe you and I could slide in there somehow. We'll just, I think Castiglione's a little long in the tooth. I'm kind of tired of his axe. We could take over and be the tandem right there.
There you go. Okay. Enough. It's talking about shutting down an interview quickly. All right, thanks, Andy. But let's go to the Red Sox here and those questions that I have for you from the Herald article today. Christian Vasquez, tell me what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to kind of wait and see how the Tommy John surgery recovery goes. I mean, obviously his game is throwing the ball, tremendous defensive catcher, high percentage thrown out base runners. Have to wait and see how his arm comes around after this Tommy John situation. I mean, he's not coming to the team for his bat, that's for sure. So it's a defensive side of things. Yeah. Obviously, if he can be anything of what he was before the surgery, you got a great guy that's going to stop a running game. And they always say that, a strong baseball team up the middle between the catcher, pitcher, and the center fielder, we already got a strong center fielder, whoever ends up being. And, obviously if Vasquez could play defensively like he was 2 years ago, a year ago, that would be a great benefit to the team. I think, obviously, they're going to wait and see. I don't think he's going to be ready to start the season on time. I still think there's going to probably be a little bit of a lag there as to, going through spring training. They're probably going to send him down to AA, AAA just to get some at-bats, start working in and see how the elbow progresses. But, does that open up a situation if they want to take a gamble, maybe trade a Blake Swihart in the offseason and try to get some pitching, which they desperately need? They could gamble on that route, and, hopefully he does come back. But, he'd be a great addition to the team. I think Swihart and Vasquez would be a great, great combo. But, as they say, you got to give something to get something. And, obviously the Red Sox aren't going to trade Mookie Betts or Xander Bogaerts. So you got to start looking at some of the other prospects potentially move. And Swihart could be one of them.
And what about Rusny Castillo? What's your take on him? I mean, he's been a big contributor to the team.
Yeah, he's kind of the X factor out there. You really don't know what he can bring to the table, and his time with the Red Sox played a little bit back in 2014 toward the end of the season. This year he was up and down from the minors and didn't really have a big spike offensively in what he could bring to the table. He ended up with 5 home runs on the season. The average was adequate, 275, 280. He made some nice plays in the outfield, has a strong arm, still learning how to play left field if that's where they ultimately decide he's going to play. I still think he has a little bit of a ceiling. I don't think you should expect any more than in a full season. Maybe a guy might give you 20 home runs at the most. Maybe bat 280 in the good season. He's not going to be a 40 home run guy. I don't see him batting over 300. He still needs to work on his plate discipline. But he could. I mean, the Red Sox are spending a lot of money on him. But maybe he could end up being part of a trade piece. I mean, who knows? I mean, out of the 3 outfielders they have, I would think they'd try to, someone came a knocking for an outfield, I think he'd be the first guy they might discuss out of the 3.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be some trades too. I would have to think that would be the case this offseason. Now they also mentioned Rick Porcello. Is he the number 2 starter next year?
Well, I don't know if this team right now doesn't have a number 1 or a number 2.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem. This team is loaded with the starting pitcher. I mean, honestly, if you want to say who's the Red Sox number 1 pitcher right now, I'm going to say it's Rich Hill. But, I mean, I don't even think he's in the team's plans. But that just shows you the state of the rotation. It's a tough say to say for Porcello. Yeah, they kind of signed him to come in and be a number 2 or maybe hopefully take that next step and be a number 1, which he's not. We have a bunch of 3s, 4s, and 5s. They got to get some top of the rotation guys in there. I don't think he could be a number 2. I think he's probably the most comfortable being a 3. I think what you can get out of him for the money you're paying him at number 3, it's still an extreme expense. But I think that would be the perfect role for him. And you still got Clay Buchholz in the mix. What are they going to do with him? Some issues there. I know that they said if he's healthy, he's going to be back, and they want to extend him and that type of thing. But to me, I've seen enough of him too between the injuries and you just can't rely on him.
No.
So, me, Buchholz and Porcello, they're kind of similar. Obviously Porcello's getting paid a lot more money and going to be around a lot longer, so he gets the edge and who might be sticking around, because I don't see anyone coming to the Red Sox longing for Porcello.
Well, this is a question that we added to the Herald questions that they had in the paper today. So let's talk about starting pitching and bullpen. You're kind of already there on part of this, but I mean, this is they're just huge question marks, really, from pitcher number 1 to 10 or 11, whoever is on this roster next year.
To me, everybody's movable. There's no one there that's a guaranteed, well, you say this guy's definitely going to be this. I mean, I guess Uehara, if he comes back from the wrist injury, he's still your closer. But, I mean, he's 40, 41 years old at this point. What's he really have left? Another year, maybe? They really don't have any setup guys of any note. No, none of the young guys kind of step forward to look like they could claim the role next year. And the problem with Dave Dombrowski back in Detroit was his issue was building bullpen. That was the Tigers' downfall when they had solid teams getting into the playoffs the last handful of years. So I could make Red Sox fans a little shaky as to how he's going to put this bullpen together. But like you said, they got to start making some trades with some of these prospects. There's only so many guys you can try to go sign as a free agent. Obviously, they wasted a lot of money this past offseason. I don't think that's going to change their where they do business going into next year. I'm sure they're going to still be in the mix to sign some high-priced guys. But top to bottom, that whole pitching staff could completely be different starting next year.
Well, and the last question here, Andy, or topic would be the manager. Let's put that was their I think their last one with John Farrell undergoing the cancer treatments. The team made the announcement. There was rumored, I think, a report earlier this week or last week rather, that he would be back. That the team wanted him back, and that's what the team has said this week. However, there's also the situation with where Lovello, the bench coach, is also going to be back and who closed out the year managing the Sox. So, I mean, is Farrell really going to be back, or do we know or not know? I guess it's just too early to know. And obviously, by the way, we talk about this and hope for his full recovery as well here.
Well, obviously, I think being first and foremost for John Farrell, if he is healthy and he's up to the task, that he's still going to be their manager. I'm not going to be surprised by that. And I think it was a good move locking up Lovullo for a 2-year extension as the bench coach, because if Farrell has to have any extended time team in his recovery, you saw how the team reacted playing under Lovullo. So, so I think that's a good mix to start the year off. Maybe the team, because obviously I think that he was going to draw some attention in the offseason, so maybe when they re-sign him to this extension, maybe they told him that, if something goes awry with Farrell down the road, you get first crack at it. But, with Farrell and Lovullo are such close friends, I know he said he didn't want the manager's position. So it's kind of an interesting situation. But with the two of them together, I don't have a problem with that right now. I think that's a smart move going into next year. I mean, there's really not a hot commodity manager sitting out there that you want to jump after and say, well, this is the guy that we're going to bring in. There's no big name out there that's looking for a job manager-wise. So I think that's the smart move to kind of go ahead with what they've been working with. And, Farrell did win a World Series a couple years ago, so, not the worst-case scenario. So we'll see how it all plays out.
But is this last place now 3 out of the last 4 years for this team? Is that right?
Yeah. That is the correct answer there. That is it's crazy to say when you think about it. It hasn't happened in quite some time for the Fish 3 of the last 4 years in last place.
Where's Bobby Valentine these days?
Is he director for college?
Oh, is he still that? He still has that position. I didn't think he would last at that. Maybe he's.
I still think he is. I don't recall hearing otherwise. I may be off on that.
Yeah.
Haven't heard a lot of news on the Bobby V. So maybe he's just riding off in the sunset.
Yeah, maybe.
They're not bringing him back. That's for sure.
No, that's probably not going to happen. All right, Andy. That'll do it for the Red Sox. I just want to give you a little salute from the WESX alums for helping to organize that event a couple of weeks ago and at the Sylvan Street Grill with Betty Stavis back in town. What is she, 90? 91, Andy? Almost 92?
She said 92 is her next birthday, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. What she said. But it's always a fun time getting the group together. Obviously, we had a lot of great years at WESX and made a lot of strong friendships. It's always good to get everybody together, and it's always nice to see some people that show up for some events and don't come to the next one. People pop in and pop out. We have our regular roster of people that always attend, but then you always get a different face every so often, which makes it fun.
Yeah,
we'll be doing it again next year, and hopefully Betty will be back from the West Coast to join us again, but we'll keep the tradition going.
Great, yeah, and she's a native from Michigan, and Andy, I mean, she's really remarkable. I remember she was working at WESX in her 80s, and I think I was working part-time there then. And every summer, she would drive to Michigan, and people would say, oh, Mike, I mean, what 80-year-old drives?
I was telling those stories too when I started working there myself in the early to mid 90s, that she would go away in the summertime out to Michigan to visit family and whatnot. And she's a remarkable person, and she's doing okay for her age. I hope if I'm still at that age, I can be as active and able to move around as well as she does.
Well, when you're 92, I doubt if there'll be any more WESX reunions. I'm betting there won't be. But let's hope there are, though. All right. All right, Andy, great talking with you. Andy Carbone with us from Red Sox Insider on msonewsports.com.